46 to 47. Forgive me, today is quite practical, because we need some practical at this particular point in time, so forgive me for that. But nevertheless, it is important, really, really important for us at this particular stage. Those verses, if you remember, said these words. They devoted themselves, from verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. We're going to focus on verse 46 and 47. Before I forget, just to say, with regards to that togetherness type of thing, our sister Jenny Harper, she obviously, she's now been in the care home in Barleycroft, just off London Road, at the opposite side to the dog racing track. It's at the opposite side to the back. She's been in there now since November, if not before. And visitors will be really, really appreciated. It's long term. It's proving to be long term. So that she needs building up, strengthening up. She particularly would love someone just to come in and read the scripture. Read the scripture to her. And so I'm just putting it out there. If you don't want further details, just ask, ring the office, and we'll tell you all the details. But it is at Barleycroft, and it's proving to be longer term than expected. And so if you can help, please, just to go and read, she would be absolutely delighted. Delighted. So, verse 46 and 47 says these words. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I might need you, Eddie, actually. There is an overhead on there. With glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. What does togetherness, because we talked about being together, what is togetherness in terms of Romford Ealing Church at this present moment? What does it look like at this present time? One of the first points I said last week was togetherness in terms of location. It says at the beginning of Acts chapter 2 that they were together, gathered together in one place. And when they were gathered together at one place, the Holy Spirit came. Power was released. The gospel went forward. Peter preaching the first sermon, as it were, and from that day, 3,000 were added to the church, plus 3,000 men, plus women and children. And it began. But they were together in one place. They gathered. In our reading, we find that having started the church, they were there every day, and they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So this was the beginnings of that, and therefore they were gathering together every day, full of joy, full of expectancy. Amazing things were happening. People were being healed, people were being set free, people were being delivered, and it was fantastic. There in the temple courts. What does togetherness look like for us as a church? Well, structurally, when we look at what happened to the early church, the pattern that was set is still the pattern that we basically run today. It says there that they met in the temple courts. For them, it was on a daily basis initially. But then it also says that they broke bread together in their homes. And so you have this pattern of large gathering and then a breakdown into small gatherings. Which is absolutely essential. If you think 3,000 people plus, that is huge. Talking about 5,000 people. And so how on earth could 5,000 people have any meaningful relationship with each other if all they did was gather in the temple courts? It just wouldn't happen. And therefore, they broke bread in homes together, praising God, sharing together, enjoying the favor of the people. There was this sense of togetherness in a large gathering, but also in the context of small gatherings as well. Don't worry if you can't get it up, it's fine. There's a little while yet. What is interesting to note is that they didn't have a building of their own. They gathered in the temple courts. They were Jews. And so there was the method of worship that they had from their Jewish background, which was to gather in the temple. And they had their synagogues, where they had their weekly worship. But they didn't actually, now that some of them had become Christians and were frowned upon by Jewish leaders who viewed it as a cult and a breakaway from Judaism, they didn't have actually any buildings of their own. But they met in the public arena in the temple, and they met in Solomon's Arcade. And Solomon's Arcade is the cloister area to the eastern wall, in the courts where people could enter, Gentiles, etc., or beyond that point. But they were there and able to gather. And initially, it takes everybody by surprise. And therefore, there's no policing of it. There's no... the Jewish authorities, it probably just sneaked up on them. They just weren't aware, because suddenly, bang, 3,000 people are meeting. And then it begins to become apparent that the message that they're talking about is different from Judaism. And it goes on a daily basis. We can see that they met at various times, because in Acts chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us that they met at the break of dawn. It also tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us also that they met for prayer about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so the way it shaped itself was that they were gathering together at these different points in time in the temple, just this movement of joy, of God on the move and working and doing stuff. And they just couldn't get enough. They just wanted to be together. And that's how they met. The main focus in those particular areas was on the preaching, was on teaching, and was on ministry. Because as you read in the book of Acts, as the apostles began to preach and miracles began to happen, people began to bring the sick, people began to bring those who were ill, those who needed deliverance, demon possession. It was all happening in that area. And it just kind of rolled in a totally unorganized but gloriously God-controlled way. Amen? It was just amazing. It was all happening in that area. But they also met in homes. And the key focus on the homes was the breaking of bread and prayer. And later on we find out, as we read through the epistles, that some would bring a hymn, some would bring a song, some would bring an exhortation. It was very fluid what they were doing in those groups. The breaking of bread would have been an impossibility in the temple courts, the way it was structured, because it was a public space. And it just wasn't going to happen. So it was in their homes. Of course, our format is slightly different now, that we have most churches have a set place of worship, and the format therefore could incorporate communion in the larger gathering. But then, it was in their homes. When persecution began, chapter 7, the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the whole thing changed. Because now, the temple area, they couldn't do that. They were officially a cult, not welcome by the Jewish authorities. And so that gathering point, that gathering hubbub of immense activity was suddenly taken away from them. What continued was the small groups, meeting in the homes, meeting where they could, sometimes, maybe even secretly, because of danger. But it didn't stop the church growing. In fact, the church grew more with the scattering of the saints, because they didn't just stay in Jerusalem. They had to flee the town, some of them. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. They took the fire. They took whatever was coming at them. But some of the rest of the people were scattered all over, some going back to Samaria, some going to different areas outside of Jerusalem. And wherever they went, they gathered. Ones and twos, threes, fours, I don't know, tens, twenties, whatever home they could fit in, they carried on as the church. And it's this sense of togetherness that kept them together, that kept the church rolling and moving forward. We can't let our search for a building falter us, because the building is not the church. We are the church. We are the church. And as long as we have that sense of we want to be together, then wherever we are, we can make it happen. Amen? We can make it happen. And I just want to say a big thank you. A big thank you, because there's obviously, you know, words out there, and we meet as ministers and stuff. And this has been going on for a long time. It's been going for over 10 years. And there's new ministers come in and new ministers go, etc. And I was talking to some the other day, and they were just praying about our circumstances. And you know, they explained, well, since November, we've been in four different venues, beginning at the URC and now ending up here. We've been in four different venues. And says, "Why?" I said, "You must have a great congregation to stick together through all of that." You know, and I thought, actually, amen. Amen. You ought to give yourselves a round of applause, because you know, they were saying, some were saying, "No, if that happened to our congregation, we'd lose them. We'd lose so many of them." And yes, we do suffer loss when we make moves, but we've made four moves in the past few months, but also over the years in different venues. And so just a big thank you for that commitment and for that sense of togetherness. It's not that we don't have it, it's just that we need more. Amen? We need more. And we need refreshing sometimes about what that togetherness means and looks like. So let me refresh your memory in terms of our vision. For those of you who are new to us and have been around for a shorter time, we've not mentioned this for a long, long time. So I just wanted to refresh your memories. But also for those of us who have been here for a long time, to refresh your memories in particular as well. Now, firstly, with regards to our vision, very simple. We want to build an army of people. But we don't want to build it in the sense of a force. We want to build it in the sense of relationship. And it's relationship, firstly, to God, that this army will look like. It's relationship, secondly, with regards to the body of Christ, ourselves, fellowship. And it's relationship, thirdly, in context of the world. That's what it's all about. Because having relationship with God, having tight relationship with each other, it should strengthen us to then build relationships and bridges with the world around us who need Jesus. And the diagram there was like an onion. On the outside, the green was the crowd. That is the people who are not saved, the people who don't come to church, the people who are, for want of a better phrase, out there. Through us shining, whether that be on a Saturday out in the open air, face-to-face, cold contacts, or whether that be with our families on a daily, weekly basis, or whether that be in our workplace with our colleagues who don't know Christ, or whether that be with acquaintances and distant family, whatever contacts we have, our desire is to shine and to show Jesus to them. And God willing, that they want him too, through our witness. And they then, wanting him, come to church. whether that be locally here at Romford Ealing or elsewhere, depending where you work, where you live, there's a different kettle of fish. But for those here, we draw them into this congregation. The second layer, the blue layer, they become part of us. Having become part of us, it doesn't stop there. It can stop there, but what I'm saying is it shouldn't stop there. It shouldn't be that they just come on a Sunday and that's it. It can be like that because a lot of church is made up of that, where Sunday is it for me, thank you very much. And that's fine to a degree. But what is needed is not just a big gathering, as we've seen in Acts chapter 2, meeting in the temple courts together, receiving teaching, and then going away. What is needed is those small groups as well. It's that ability to actually connect with each other, to know each other, to love one another, to help one another. Because at the end of the day, the deluge against Christians, and I'm just talking about for us here in the UK, is enormous. We're getting it 24/7. Kids are getting it in our schools where God is becoming less, and specifically Christ is becoming less and less and less. It was great yesterday, and do remember her in your prayers. A lady called Gabriella. Through the nativity, we just by early mornings, forgot there early, myself and Jill used to go down to the patisserie just to tackle one or two cakes. Okay. Sorry. I know I shouldn't, but there you go. But the Lord used it. Amen. Amen. And she's one of the ladies who runs the patisserie in Romford. And on the last day, she's seen us a few times, so she said, what do you do? Because we used to be going early, because it opens from 7:30. And we told her, oh, it's the nativity unit over there. We filled her in and everything. And just there was just a moment of connection. And God just... And she said, do you know, I'm Catholic. And my kids go to a Catholic school. And I couldn't believe it that they didn't do the nativity or anything to do with the nativity in my children's year. And I was so upset. I was so annoyed, and I would have loved to come to this, to see this, and my children. Didn't you send it to the school? Yes, we sent it to all the schools, to Havering, to Redbridge, Barking Dagenham. We send it all out, but it's just whether it gets past the front desk or the head teacher. It just needs one teacher to take it. And she said, well, here's my number. And she sent us her number. I said, can you text me the photos? So we've shown her some of the photographs. So I took her number and sent her the photographs, and she said, I'm going to take it and I'm going to tell them, next year we must send our children to this. And from there we've kept in contact. We went in for a drink the other day, earlier on, sometime anyway, went there again. And Helen was in there, Helen and Shax. And we were talking about what was going to happen yesterday there in Heart and Soul. And as we were talking, she came out, did Gabriella, and so I introduced it to Helen and Shax, and we got talking again, and then told her about Heart and Soul, gave her an invitation. She said, I'm going to come. I'm going to come. She said, I want to come. Can I bring children? Can I bring my children? I said, yeah, yeah. It's not a problem at all. Whatever you can. Anyway, we did our thing. I was singing a few songs. I sang my songs. Then we went upstairs, some of us, to eat. And after 9:00, I thought, she's not come. But then after 9:00, she came. She came. She brought her niece with her, who lives in Kent but was visiting her, and they came and were just totally moved and impacted by the ministry that Helen carried out, and the team and other folks that she'd got there, totally impacted. And so the journey continues, but she just keeps in touch. But it was all as a result of just wanting to share who we are and who we represent with the world outside. And not everybody outside doesn't want to know. They are deluged by stuff in schools, which is there's not enough in schools now about Jesus. They're deluged by the radio. They're deluged by the media in general, which is anti-Christ, doesn't really promote Jesus. They're deluged by bad figures, of examples of Christian figures on TV, on soaps. There's just nothing positive, hardly coming from the media about Jesus. So we're not going to get it from anybody else. So it's really important that we, as the body of Christ, are together. And that we bring our children and our youth up with a sense of joy about who we're worshipping, about who we're loving, who we're living life for. So that it makes sense to them, so that then they are strong enough to be able to live it in that kind of an environment. Really, really important. And so please, you know, this quest for volunteers and stuff, it's a family affair. We've got to deal with it as families. Yeah? We've got to deal with it as families. I remember at Bible College, there was one guy, and he came from Ireland, and if anybody's kids were in the common room, then it was anybody's. Anybody was their parent. So he'd give them some licks, he'd kick them out there, he'd do it, because they weren't family. It used to be like that in the UK, where if you got a clip round the ear from the policeman, you get a clip at home. It's still like that for some cultures, where the wider family involves themselves with your family. And we are family. It doesn't mean that we kick them. I'm not promoting that, by the way. But it was just that sense of togetherness. We deal with things together. And that's really important. So, with regards to this, core leaders, it's important then to draw people into the congregation from there to develop into small groups. Let me refresh your memory with regards to our small groups at the moment, because we are looking at it afresh. We know it needs revamping. We know we don't say enough about it. We want to change that. We want to look at it first and make sure, tweak it some more. But as it stands, what is a core group? So what are these small groups that we operate? Groups of people from within the congregation that come together on a regular or semi-regular basis. And that can be made up of various types of groups. They can be spiritual groups, so for example, like a home group. They can be groups to fulfill a task, like stewarding, etc., like a communion, a group who do the communion. Or there can be social groups. Groups that come together because of age, youth, children, over 50s, singles, young adults, whatever, it can be any of those groups, social groups. It's impossible to get to know people well unless we actually start to mix with each other in a smaller way. But through small groups, all that becomes possible. In small groups, it's where we get to know each other. Ministries can be developed and fostered. Tasks can be carried out. Care can be exercised. You know, it's great when I hear of folks who end up in hospital. Yeah, as pastors, we go along. But it's great that already the home group's been there. Already they've been visiting, taking care of, because they're part of a smaller group who they know and who love them and are caring for them. So that caring aspect, that personal growth can take place, and perhaps even identify what people's giftings are and what they're good at. In a smaller scale, it becomes possible. So how are groups started? Basically, where there's a need. For example, there is a need actually for football teams. Some of our young people would love to have a football team. They're looking at that. Whether it be singles groups. There's lots of groups at the minute that are missing. We do need young adults. We do need sort of the 20 to 35 kind of grouping. We do need that. All it takes is someone to say, I'm going to do it. It's because the issue becomes who leads them. And I can't be at every group. Mike can't be at every group. Elders can't be at every group. It needs someone to say, We need this, even if it's just a coming together without any big program. Just to say, actually, we would love to meet together as a group. We've got young mums and young dads, families, babies being born. For them to come together would be great, because they're in a time of life which is a similar time of life, and they need each other. There's a lot to learn when you become a parent. The group needs to know what its main purpose is so it can meet the aim. Once the idea has been ratified or brought to the eldership and say, well, maybe we'd like to do this, and we can look at it and say, yeah, that sounds really great. Have you got someone alongside you? Then off you go. Let's begin. The group can begin. How can we join a core group? Well, core groups are simple to join. You simply speak to the leader of that particular group, find out the details, if there's any requirements to be part of it. So, for example, most of them are not, but for example, if you want to be in the worship group, then of course you must be able to sing. Yeah? Or play an instrument. Yeah? To a certain standard, to be able to play a functioning part in the team. But some of them don't require any particular skill. Speak to one of the leaders and or respond to an invitation, like the invitation was given this morning about junior church. We need more people in junior church, and it's a great place to learn. So many times people who have taught in Sunday school, where they are given the materials, they have to then learn the materials so that they can then pass it on, and they grow. I've heard that so many times. It's done them good looking at the scriptures so that they can pass it on to the kids. How many core groups can you belong to? Yeah? Well, as many as you like. As many as you like. As many as you can handle, basically. So, for example, if you're part of the stewarding team, which is a practical team, you can also be part of a home group. Yeah? It doesn't limit you. You can do both if you can fit it in your schedule. So, in terms of how many groups you can belong, for me, I know, just from our experience, but statistically it's the same anyway, if someone is coming to church on a Sunday and that's it, it is only a matter of time before they disappear. If they're not making a friend, if they're not connecting with people, what are they doing there? It's only a matter of time. But the more people get led into a church, so if they are involved in stewarding, they've got some function to carry out. If they are involved in a fellowship type group where they're receiving something as well and making friendships and developing friendships, finding out who they are in Christ and participating, then the rate of them staying in a local church shoots up. We need to be a functioning part of the body of Christ, not just a bystander watching on. The ideal for us, therefore, is that to belong to a core group would be to belong to a core group that serves, or I would encourage to give you an aim of belonging to a core group that serves, that is carrying out basic functions like the PA team. We're always short of PA team. The guys who are putting this up, collecting it from the church, putting this up, doing a fabulous job. It's a very narrow team. It's a very committed team, but we need more. Shacks, you need more, don't you? You would love to have more people involved in that. We've probably got a handful who are committing themselves to that, including Mike. And to have more involved in that would actually fulfill an absolutely necessary function, as with stewarding, as with any other function, communion, etc. So that's really, really important as well. So to belong to a serving group, but also to belong to a fellowship group. That's the challenge that I give to you this morning. A fellowship group where you go along and you get something out of it for yourself as well, but also you can give, get to know people and be part of. There are five values, that simple values that we want to see operating within those groups. And because those groups can be different, we had to make them general points that could be carried out in any particular group. So, number one, sharing. We would expect sharing to take place in a core group. A place where iron sharpens iron. You could, so within that context, if it's a home group, for example, teaching the Bible, that's sharing the Word of God. If it was in a group that met to play football, then talking about Jesus would be the sharing aspect. Encouraging one another in Christ, that would be the sharing aspect that would be taking place about the things of God. Praying together, of course, in home groups, that's normally part of that. But again, if it was in the football context, then you know, you're meeting together, and you know, someone comes in with a broken leg or can't pick, well, let's pray for you in Jesus' name. You pray for them. It's just natural to be praying about what's going on in their lives. That takes care of the praying aspect. The attracting is the outreach kind of, always keeping your eyes open. That's the outreach aspect of a group that we'd love to see. Not saying, well, do you know, there's five of us here and we would love nobody else. There's five of us and we just want to, you know, I like the look of you, you like the look of me, that's it. Let's not unsettle it by getting new people. We don't want groups to be closed. We want them to be open. Firstly, within the church, always looking out to invite other people into your group. And secondly, of course, outside. What you do, there's tons of groups that could take place. Churches have walking groups that go for walks. Lots of non-Christians go to them because it's just go walk, but along the way you're talking and sharing with each other, and they get involved. It's just needed someone to say, this is what we want to do. And so core groups should be so another principle is that of attracting, remaining open and pulling other people into your core group. Another aspect is that of relating. We all need friends, we all need fellowship, and we need it of a more intimate nature, where people actually know us. And that increases the potential to feel at home and staying around. Church is family. And then there's the caring aspect, the pastoral side of things, the actual feeling cared for, as I mentioned earlier, you know, visiting when one of you's in hospital, the telephone, when you've missed someone, etc., etc. We, you know, in a church like this, and particularly the movement that we've had over November and December from four different venues, it's virtually impossible for us to even remember, and we could miss someone who's not been here throughout that whole period. But if they're in a small group, those in the small group miss them straight away. And then they can either sort it out themselves or inform the leadership, and we can actually respond to that and find out what's going on. The caring aspect. Put all that together as an acrostic, and we've got SPARC. S-P-A-R-C. SPARC. Sharing, praying, attracting, relating, caring. That's what we'd like to see operating in any small group, just to keep cohesion together, that we're all on the same page. Just finally, if you're thinking, well, what groups are there? There they are. Building team. There's Rita. She's also the treasurer at this point in time. Speak to Rita if you're interested in the building team. Or speak to myself. Creche. There's Ellie. Parents need to get together. And if you want, how does that work? Speak to Ellen. Of course, it's slightly different from Sunday school because parents, it'd be good to help each other in that aspect because it's just virtually impossible to provide for babies, etc., apart from the parents. Friday evangelism, that's Eddie. Here he is, good looking man down here. Power kids, oh, that's me. So if you got kids at primary school age, so basically at primary school, 5s through to 11s, on a Wednesday we meet and we have a great time. We have a fantastic time. So if your kids have not been to that, you might not even clocked that it's on. You know now. See me. Talk to me. Junior church, Wendy. Well, Wendy shared this morning brilliantly. Worship, Mike has been leading that. Lunch club, there's Jill and Chris. Give a wave, Chris. And myself, that's through the daytime. Youth church, Mike again, PA, Shaquille at the back. You've heard from Shaquille this morning. Home groups, there's four home groups at this present time. We need more. There's Babs's group in Hornchurch, give away Babs. There's Chris Dykes's group, she's already given away, in Collier Road. There's Paulette's group, she's not here today, but who else is in Paulette's group? Oh, she's there, you are, Paulette. See Paulette, and that formerly was the Ilford group, but they actually meet in Romford now. She'd be delighted just to give you information. Harold Hill, there's Mervyn over there. There's Open Pastures, which is for single parents. And Cheryl does an excellent job. She's a pastor by heart. And they do all things. They go to Holland. They go to Belgium. They go on trips with each other. They have parties. I almost wish I was single, So it's amazing. Which leads nicely into persecution. there's the persecuted church, which is Roger and Margaret. And next page. Widows group is Margaret Jones. Thursday prayer group, open to anyone on a Thursday, run by myself and the team there. Men's breakfast as well, to gather the men together. See me for details on that. Women's breakfast is Jill and Chris. Communion, Jamoke, coordinates that. If you'd like to help out with the album emblems, whether putting them out or putting them away. Catering is Joke, giveaway of Joke. And if you're interested in cooking and sharing, when she's got stuff to organise for the church, she'll always need teams. And so to gather a team would be fantastic of willing people. Stewarding is Chris and Sharon. Sharon, giveaway. Then there's Reach on the Treasury, Child Protection, see myself, Pauline is the deputy, Pauline Coker, she's out in the youth, is Pauline, where are we? Car Park is Buller, and he, again, an unsung hero, particularly in this context, being out there and working through all the car park problems, etc. Fantastic job, we always need more guys on that. Street Evangelism, Mike, Eddie, Chima as well. Nurture Group, we're reviewing on that one, but involved in that in the past has been Chris and Belinda. Ministry Team, it's Chris. Helen kicked that one off for us, but obviously she's out ministering a lot of the time, so Chris takes up the slack. On the web, looking after our website, is Shana. We'd love for that to develop more. It's an area which we need much, much more promotion of the church. And similarly with social media. Obviously, Haley's just had a baby now as well. We need that team developing. Great areas for younger people who are really savvy with social media. How we can promote church, promote events, promote interaction. A whole big area which we would love to see developing as well, that media area. Let me finish there. That's where we're at. That's our large group and small groups. We need more as we've reached this particular size. We need more, and we need more people willing to say, do you know, I want to get involved. And maybe just going through some of those areas might have just triggered something off in you. Now, to make it happen practically, also, there's people who've been coming, and we don't know who you are. We see your face, but really don't know you because we've either not been to your home or had a meaningful interaction. Or it might be that you're just here because you've hooked into the emails, but we don't actually have you on file. We want to look at our postcodes to see what the makeup of the church is in terms of area. Because, as you say, we do need more groups. And so we want to be doing that, and to help us with that, if you know that you've not given us details, name and address and stuff, it might just be that you've given us your email. That doesn't help us when it comes to things like this. Please get one of these as you leave and fill them in and get them back to us ASAP, or just send us an email to the office, name, address, what your household's made up of, name of your children, etc. And contact details, address, email, etc. You can do that just by sending it to us at the office. But main thing is, please, just do it. Just do it so that we can start to get this togetherness and see what we've got. And that will help us then to service one another and the Lord better. Amen? Hope that's not too much for you to take. Shall we stand?